You will please go ahead and open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to have a lengthy reading this morning, but the entire lesson is going to be a study of the passage that we're going to be reading. 2 Corinthians 4. We're going to begin in verse 16. You know, the chapter divisions were made by uninspired men, and this is one of those places where the chapter division doesn't seem to me to fall in the right place. I think the entire context is 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 16, going down through chapter 5, verse 10. So let's read this together, please. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, down through chapter 5, verse 10. Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. That's the reading of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, down through chapter 5, verse 10. Who is that young guy? Boy, he's just a kid, isn't he? Look at that guy, has a full head of black hair. And he does not have glasses. And he does not have hearing aids. And you know, that guy played tennis most every afternoon for an hour, hour and a half. Now he walks with some old geezers in the park. That guy played tackle football without pads on Sunday afternoon. Now, if he can, he gets a nap on Sunday afternoon. What happened? Well, ain't it awful what 48 years will do? That's what happened. Time passed. Yeah, that's me 48 years ago this January. I like that picture. I think it's probably the best picture ever made of me, so I try to save it, even though Sandy tries. No, she doesn't try to throw it away. That was a slander. But at any rate, that was my college graduation picture made at Southern State College, Magnolia, Arkansas, January 1968. Just a few years ago. Time has not been kind. But you know what? That happens to us all. I am more fortunate than many people because I've lived to be 70 years old and still have good health. Well, relatively speaking. But nonetheless, I have good health. I get along well. I can walk with the other guys and keep up with them. And I can eat most anything I want. Well, within reason, I can eat most anything I want to. Time has been good to me. There's some in this audience, and some who are not able to be here, though they'd like to be here, that haven't passed nearly as much time on this earth as I have. And time hasn't been so kind to them. Some suffering from cancer. Some going through all kinds of trouble that comes from health. some having other troubles that they've experienced through the years. But you know, in the passage that we just read, and we're going to spend the rest of our time looking at that passage, the Apostle Paul is really not talking about those things as far as the distresses that he went through, the afflictions that he'd gone through. Those are just things that everybody, if you live to be 70 years of age, you're going to have some health problems. It comes with the territory. If you live to be 90 years of age, Brother Earl, you have some more health problems, won't you? It comes with the territory. It's just a matter of living this life that long. Those things happen. But the Apostle Paul was talking about some things that most of us have experienced very, very little of. Some of us have experienced some of it, but not to the extent the Apostle Paul had. The Apostle was talking about the afflictions that come from serving Christ. And we will need to make the application there, but in a secondary sense, we can make the application to the troubles that we face on a daily basis. But we need to remember this, and this is not in your outline if you want to add it. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, this is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, the Apostle Paul said, "Yes, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." If we're living godly lives in Christ Jesus, Satan is going to be testing us. He's going to bring persecution upon us. That goes with the territory also of living a godly life. And so in addition to the aches and the pains as we get older, in addition to the diseases and the accidents that may befall and could happen to anybody, that do happen to anybody that walks upon this earth for a while, God's people who are living for Him, living godly in Christ Jesus, we have another trial that we go through. And that's the trial of suffering for Christ Jesus. Satan trying our faithfulness to Him. Now here's the question, what an answer. Actually, the Apostle Paul answers it in the passage we're going to be studying. What keeps us from despair? He actually talks about that twice in this passage. And when he says lose heart, I believe that's what he's talking about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, he says, "Therefore we do not lose heart." Now that's the second time in this context that he talked about that losing heart. And that losing heart means to lose the courage to keep on serving the Lord in the face of the afflictions that we endure. Now some, because of health problems, it's a real burden to try to serve the Lord as well as we can. Some, it's just a matter of getting old and not being able to get out and do the things that we would like to do. But what if you went through the things the Apostle Paul had gone through? Now there would be a real temptation to lose heart, to lose the courage, to keep on serving the Lord. But the Apostle Paul said, in light of the things that he's considering in our passage, he does not lose heart. He does not lose the courage to keep on serving the Lord. Now notice he said, well, let's go back and look at the passage again. Even though our outward man is perishing, the outward man is the physical body. And that word perishing means decaying. Even as we're living, we're born but to die. The outward man, you know, it just, again, it goes with the territory. As we get older, my eyes just don't function the way they used to function. My hearing just doesn't function the way it used to function. And my legs don't function the way they used to function. I just don't do the things that I used. They used to come very easily. And I can still remember as a young guy, it was just a pleasure to get. I enjoyed getting out and doing what Mark, I think, still does, just running. It was just a pleasure, just a joy. It ain't no joy now, I'll tell you. It's something that I don't even try anymore. I don't want to die of a heart attack tomorrow. And so that just comes with the territory. Those things happen. The body is gradually perishing. That's the outward man, the physical body. But there's an inward man. There's a spirit that's made in the image of God. And if you're serving the Lord, if I'm serving the Lord as this outward body, this physical man is getting weaker and is decaying and is getting ready to go to the grave and to pass back to the ground. For dust we are, to dust we shall return. As the physical body is doing that, if you're living for the Lord day by day, if you're studying His Word, if you're working for Him, if you're praying day by day, this inward man is getting stronger and stronger and stronger, more and more fitted for eternity. So, the outward man is perishing, but if we're serving the Lord, the inward man is being made anew day by day, more and more in the likeness of Christ, more and more in the image of God. And thus he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now we're going to come back in just a moment and notice who said this. And when he's talking about, now afflictions are things that weigh us down. Things which burden us. Things which are hard on us. Make it hard to keep on going. It may be health problems. It may be financial problems. It may be family problems. But really in context, the apostle is talking about the sufferings that come from serving Christ. He's talking about those things that come upon us because we're walking in the steps of the Master. And he says this affliction is light and is but for a moment. You know, the key to that is not looking at the affliction, the things that weigh us down. Instead of keeping our minds on those things that weigh us down, to look at something else, to look at the things which are eternal and which are weighty, yes, far more exceeding. Now notice who said this. The Apostle Paul is the one who said, the afflictions are light and they're momentary. They're just a very little affliction and they're just for a very short time. The Apostle wrote 2 Corinthians 11. I've just printed a portion of it here, not all that he said about his suffering. For us to get before, who is saying this? Now when the Apostle wrote 2 Corinthians, he had been preaching the gospel for about 20 years. He had about 10 more years. Of course, he didn't know that at that time. He had about 10 more years on this earth of serving the Lord. And the afflictions were just going to get worse. Not afflictions that came from old age, although there were some of those. Not afflictions that were just a part of living life, but afflictions that came from serving the Lord. The persecutions that Satan brought upon him. Notice what he says. Are they ministers of Christ? He's talking about the false apostles. I speak as a fool, I'm more. Now, when he said he speak as a fool, he didn't like to brag on himself. Some folks like to brag on themselves. Paul didn't do that. He felt like a fool to brag on himself. But notice the bragging, the boasting is not in achievements. The boasting is in the things that he'd suffered. I speak as a fool and labor's more abundant. I've worked harder than any of them. In stripes above measure. He'd lost count of how many stripes had been laid on his back for serving the Lord. In prisons more frequently. How many of us can say I've been thrown into prison because I served the Lord? He would have had that happen to him frequently. In deaths often, very often, he was in such a circumstance that he was in danger of death. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. The Jews were allowed by the law of Moses to beat a man with 40 blows. They couldn't beat more than that. And so in order to make sure they didn't exceed the 40, they would do 39. 40 stripes save one. That had happened to Paul 5 different times. The Jews had beaten him with 40 stripes save one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. The Romans beat with rods, so he'd been beaten by the Romans 3 times. Once I was stoned. Now that's recorded in Acts chapter 14. When Paul was at Lystra, they stoned him and thought he was dead and dragged him outside the city, but he revived and went about his work. 3 times I was shipwrecked. That's not recorded. A night and a day I've been in the deep. He had been maybe on a board or something, surviving a shipwreck for a night and a day. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Brothers, sisters, how many of us have gone through anything that even resembles that? I haven't. I'll readily confess, I haven't anywhere close to that. And yet, he says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. It just absolutely blows my mind when I think about that. Thought I'd skip over that. But what does that light affliction, which but for a moment, bring us? If we will endure it and keep on serving the Lord, what is the result? It brings, the affliction brings glory. But it brings glory if we keep on serving. You notice, the affliction is light, the glory is eternal. The affliction is momentary, the glory is weighty. And that doesn't satisfy. Having made that comparison, which is just, it's to me amazing when I see what the apostle went through. He's not satisfied with the comparison. He says, the glory is far more exceeding. It just goes beyond the ability to make the comparison between the two. And then he uses a paradoxical, Romans 8 verse 18 talks about the glory. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. We're going to have glory. Notice, and in both passages, what do you think about this? Rob led a beautiful song right before the sermon. And I asked him to do that, and I appreciate him doing it. About heaven will surely be worth it all. And usually we think about the beauty and the joys of heaven. And that's correct. We should think about that. But that's not what primarily this passage is talking about. It's not primarily what Romans is talking about. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about when I receive that body that God's going to give me, I'm not going to have surgery for cataracts. I'm not going to have hearing aids. I'm not going to have glasses. I'll be able to leap tall buildings with a single bound. All of this old body's deterioration and suffering and pain, the debilities that come with living in a body that is mortal, a body that is made to die, all of those things will be dim memories left far behind. And we're going to be given a glorious body, a body that will be in the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We shall see Him as He is, and we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I consider the suffering of this present time not worthily compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now here's the paradoxical statement. A paradox is a seeming contradiction. If you take it literally, it doesn't make sense. Why we do not look at the things which are seen. Well, what else can you look at? But we look at the things which are not seen. How can you look at things you cannot see? He's not talking about these eyes. He's talking about the eyes of our mind. We're not thinking about the things that are here. Now, that's so important to being a Christian. Our affection, our love, our hope, our desire is not set on things here and now. It's set on unseen things. He's going to come back to this towards the end of the passage and say, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And that's the summation of what it means to be a Christian. We walk by, our whole lives are lives of faith, looking at the unseen as if it were seen because of the faith, the trust that we have in Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. Don't set your love, your affection, your desire, the things that you think about on things here. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's sometimes, you know, they used to have an advertisement that said, if you have your health, you have everything. Hogwash. You can have good health and be on the road to hell and you don't have anything. Health is not everything. And you're going to lose your health eventually. We're all going to do that. Don't look on things here. Now, money, bass boats, whatever it is that you have your desire, here and now, football teams, doesn't matter whether you're an Aggie or Razorback, don't set your affections on things here. Those things are so unimportant. We don't look at the things which are seen. but the things which are not. Why? For the things which are seen are temporary. Everything here, your health, your money, the things money can buy, your family, everything here is temporary. It's passing. You're not going to have it forever. The things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Always keep your mind on the things which are not seen, eternal things, the things in heaven, rather than the temporary things. So, the first thing we want to see is we must set our affections, our minds, on the proper things. Not on things we see, but on things we cannot see. The apostle stated it again in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Do you realize when you were baptized into Christ and raised from that water grave of baptism, that you were raised with Christ? You were made to sit in the heavenly places in the spiritual realm. Where Christ is sitting at, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, the old King James says your affections, and I like that. Set your mind, your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, when you became a Christian, you died to sin, you died to the world, you died to those things which you can see. Those things are part of your past life. They're not so important to you now. Sin is completely done away with. And the things that are here and are temporary, those things are not so important anymore. You're died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, just like a treasure hidden in a chest far away where it cannot be taken away from you. Your life, your eternal life, is hidden in the chest of the love of Christ, and it cannot be taken away from you by Satan. You can give it up if you want to. Once saved, always saved is not true. But if you're steadfast and loyal to Christ, Satan cannot take that away from you. It's hidden with Christ in God. When Christ as our life appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Yes, glory. The glory of a resurrection body and of the beauty and the joys of heaven. Now then, we know that if we will just remain loyal and faithful to the Lord, while we go through the afflictions that we have here and now, afflictions of old age, afflictions of disease, afflictions that come from family troubles, from poverty, afflictions that come from persecution for serving the Lord, if we will not lose heart, if we will not lose our courage, then we know we have something better waiting us. And I want to see again, yes, there are passages that talk about the beauty and the joy of heaven, and we cling to those passages in hope, and that's as we should be, but that's not primarily what this passage is talking about. This passage is talking about how this old body is going to be made into a better body that won't grow old and decay. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, for we know that if our earthly house, the earthly house is this physical body, this tent, a tent is a temporary dwelling. A tent is not intended to be a permanent dwelling. This physical body in which we live is not intended to be a permanent dwelling. It's temporary. It's destroyed. And it's going to be destroyed. You're going to die, and so am I. We have a building from God. God's going to give us, and He talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He's going to give us a new body. A better body. A house not made with hands. And it's not a temporary dwelling. It's not a tent. It's eternal in the heavens. We're going to be given a body that is glorious in the image of Christ's body. And it's going to be an eternal body that does not experience disease. Does not experience the debilities of old age. Does not experience accidents. Does not experience death. It's an immortal and undying body. For in this we groan. Now, how many of us my age know to say, amen, Paul? In this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. Lord, give me a better body. One that's not subject to decay. One that's not subject to pain and suffering and disease. In this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. We don't want to be disembodied spirits. That's not our desire. We want to have the body of the resurrection, a glorious, eternal body. For we who are in this tent groans. Notice it's a tent. It's a temporary dwelling. We groan. We have pains and heartaches and troubles. Being burdened. Now, the primary burdens Paul had in mind were the sufferings for Christ, but we have other burdens too. Not because we want to be unclothed, we don't want to be a disembodied spirit, but further clothed, that is, having an eternal body, a temple, not a tent. Further clothed, that mortality, death, may be swallowed up by life. What keeps us from losing the courage to suffer, to serve the Lord in suffering and affliction is knowing that when Christ comes again, He's going to give us a glorious body, and we're not going to ever have the affliction and the sorrow and the suffering and the pain that we experience at this time. And then he says, you know what? I'm going to do something I very rarely do. I'm going to cut this lesson short because I want to take the time to discuss what he says in verse 5 about having the guarantee of the Spirit. So this would be a short lesson. Would that be all right? Anybody going to object to having a short lesson today?